Welcome to Soul-Led Living. I'm your host, Nikki Novo. I created this podcast so that you can hear, trust, and follow your intuition. Every week, I drop two episodes packed with intuitive messages that your divine team is dying for you to hear. So get your heart ready to receive exactly whatever it is that you are meant to receive. Let's do this. The future of online business. I'm so excited to have this conversation with you because as a business nerd, this is just a conversation that I've been wanting to have. It was really inspired by two big players in the female online business space that made some important announcements over the last few weeks. So I don't know if you guys have heard of Jenna Kutcher of the Gold Digger podcast and also Amy Porterfield, who is known for teaching people how to make courses. And to me, they're both like marketing gurus in the online space and they're establishments in the online space. They have been around since the online boom. So the fact that they both announced within a few days of each other, they're also friends. One was like, Jenna was like, I'm not doing my podcast anymore. And Amy Porterfield was, I'm not going to sell this like flagship program, how to make courses anymore, which is, I don't know the ins and outs, but apparently has made her a lot of money and she's not doing it anymore. And those are really important announcements because it's really telling us about the future of online business. And I want to be specific about online business, like the one that we're going to be talking about. To me, it is truly that female online business that change women's world. You know, I remember starting my blog in 2008. I was an editor at the time, driving to downtown Miami every day for my job. And not knowing how, but knowing that I was like moving into, I was in my mid-20s. I was thinking about marriage and kids, even though I did not have a boyfriend or anything like that. But I just remember thinking like, man, I love my work so much. And I do not want to give any of this up just to be a mother. And I want to be a mother so bad. You know, I want to have kids. I want to have both. And having no idea how that was going to happen because my experience was that my mom had to choose and she decided to stay home with the kids. And that was a really hard decision for her. But within a few years, this online business thing just started booming, right? With the blogs and then moving into socials and then moving into podcast, and there was this whole world where women could make money and still be home. I mean, it was life-changing. And some of you maybe are too young to like experience to remember that, but those of you who are a little bit older totally remember this time. For me, it was like my mid-20s is when it was like really starting to hit and to boom, and it was so exciting. And now we see it changing so much, and it is quite scary because people are making less money. We see podcasts that were making six figures closing down because they're not making the amount of money. So what does that mean for women? You know, AI is coming in. Like what does that mean for us? Are we still going to be able to have this dream of being able to do both, having a place where we can both be creative and profitable and live the lives we want to live, whether it's without kids or with kids, but to have that, you know, very 360 life that we dream of? Are these bad signs, right? Like the fact that Jenna Kutcher is closing down this giant podcast and Amy Porterfield shutting down this course, are these bad signs? And what does it really mean for our industry? So today I have six messages about what we are seeing happening, what is going to be the future of this space, and how we can evolve with this industry that is deeply evolving right in front of our eyes. Let's get into today's messages. Message number one, what we are seeing right now is a boom that is now leveling out and maturing, right? So depending on when you came into this space, you might not have known that this was a boom, right? People that were saying, we're selling courses and I'm making $100,000 in 1 week selling this course, right? Like this was all part of a boom. There was the gold rush boom. There was the Silicon Valley boom, right? There was an app boom. You've lived through many booms. You might just like not know that you were in the middle of a boom if you were part of this industry. If you were making any sort of money online, you were also part of a boom. And now we're seeing new booms come forward, right? We're seeing an AI boom come forward. So we have existed throughout booms, but sometimes we don't really notice what happens like after these booms kind of start to level out or like I like to say they're maturing. That's the way that this is showing right now. This reminds me of, were you guys around for like the marijuana boom? Like I was, I guess I must have been late 20s because I wasn't even married to Benny. But it was like every guy you knew was like, I'm going to start growing and selling marijuana. Like I'm going to make all this money like once it started to legalize. I'm sure everybody listening has like one person that they know that was like trying to get into that business. And there was a boom, but that was a very short boom. Like that was so interesting. And then of course now if you enter that space, you're entering that space the same way you would enter any regular space. Like if you were like, I'm going to open a coffee shop, right? Like you're not expecting to hit like a gold mine. You're just like, oh, I'm looking for this business that gives me a nice lifestyle that I love. And, you know, it's probably going to make this amount of money. But booms are when you can make a lot really quickly. And at first you think it's going to last forever. And then ultimately it matures and levels out. And that is what we are seeing in this online space specifically for women. So I wanted to ask, okay, like what about people that are entering and what about people who have been here for a while? Like, is there any message here? So if you're entering this space, first of all, like do not be discouraged. Just if anything, I actually feel like entering the space right now is so much better than maybe some of us who have been in the space for a long time, because you're going to enter it with like totally fresh new eyes, especially if you're listening to this episode. So if you're entering it, you have to enter it knowing that you're in it for the long haul. So a boom usually makes us feel like, oh man, I'm going to make money in 2 years, or I'm going to really grow in a year and a half. We did see a little bit of a boom of content creation during COVID, right? Like there's a lot of people that had very small followings in 2020. And then by 2022, had these ginormous followings because there was a boom during that time. So sometimes you might be like starting and wanting to go into this and think that's going to happen. But instead, you really have to look at it as like, I am entering a business. Like I am, you might as well be opening a nail salon. You know, like you're opening a shop. There's going to be like investment. It's going to take some time to make money. You're going to have to think of it as a business. And you really want to enter only if you're going to be in it for the long haul. So to me, it really requires a level of commitment. Like I'm really going to commit to opening this business. Now, some of you, and we're going to talk about this later, but like, let's say you're starting off, and before you start off, you're trying to get clear. And that's very similar to maybe me baking muffins out of my house, like just for fun, right? I'm just exploring. And then ultimately I realize like, oh, like this is a real business. People have been buying from me. Like now I'm going to take the next step, which is like open shop. So you have to kind of feel into like, are you pre-business or are you in the stage of committing to business? Because there are two different stages. And if you're pre-business, you don't want to force yourself to be like to commit business. You want to stay in pre-business and allow yourself to play, but know like we're not in the business stage yet. So when you do enter the business stage, you have to kind of know it's like for the long haul. But every long haul business also needs that discovery stage. So you might be there. Now, if you've been in the space for a long time, and you're trying to evolve with the business, or excuse me, you're trying to evolve with the industry, you want to lessen your production. So that makes me feel like, are you trying a bunch of different things? Are you doing a bunch of different things? Like, do you have like a podcast? Do you have Instagram? Do you have, you know, blah, 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 Substack, da, da? Do you have 17 different offers? Like, what I was getting was that needs to be lessened and simplified and moved into more of this flagship kind of signature offer type of stuff. So really being like, okay, this is the one thing that we really offer. We're going to talk about like what's really going to make money and what products are going to make money and stuff like that. But it's really about taking your business and being very brave with simplifying it and really directing it towards like this one main offer, and everything leads into that. So it's kind of this flagship signature stuff, which I would imagine too, like the Amy Porterfields of the world and Jenna Kutcher looks like the podcast was just like a big project and it just was not making the same amount of money. Where Amy feels like my sense is she's going to be moving into, we're going to see a lot of AI training from her is my vibe. And she's always like simplified her message, and it's always been about one thing. So we're going to see that, but now it's about a new thing. So just like being very, very clear on like what we do now rather than a bunch of little things. Hey there, friends. Allow me to quickly interrupt our podcast to let you know that my signature intuition training program, Soul Reading Method, is now open for registration. Yay! This is a great program for anyone feeling like they have intuition but can't always count on it. Or if you're looking to understand yourself at a soul level, this is for you. In the program, we're going to learn a ton of intuition techniques like reading energy, connecting with your higher self, reading timelines, predictions, and accessing the Akashic records. At the end of the program, you'll be certified as a soul reader who can perform a full soul reading, which is my signature reading that people love so much. And the reason people love them is because I'm reading the soul. And that is my hope for you at the end of SRM, that you can understand your soul and where it's trying to take you. We will meet once a week for 6 weeks to go over the techniques. I'll answer questions and practice with you. And in addition to our weekly live meeting, you'll have 2 practice circles per week with our teachers, Beck and Sean, which is a crowd favorite. After you graduate, the fun continues in the Clarity app, where we hold monthly intuition circles just for graduates. So this is like your way to keep together and keep practicing and keep in touch. It's truly a beautiful community and transformative experience. If this calls you, please grab your seat as spots are filling up. And if you're still on the fence, join our free Instagram live series that's going on for the next 2 weeks, titled Intuition for Real Life. Details to join are below in the show notes. Can't wait to see you there. Message number 2, I want to talk about the pillars of the online business, right? So the pillars that we saw in the past were courses or selling knowledge, mentorship, that kind of stuff. And number 2 was podcasts. Like these two were like the pillar of this industry, like having courses and having a podcast that does really well. So I wanted to specifically look into those two and see like what is happening there. And for anybody that maybe is interested or is in a podcast or is selling knowledge or courses, like what is this going to look like? And before I share this, I would say that this is not the only angle for online business. Actually, when we go deeper into the episode, we're going to see that there are new products and new things that are actually going to work. But these are kind of like the old pillars of the online business, these two categories. So, you know, stick around, listen to the whole episode, but let's start off here. So first off, we have courses, mentorship, coaching, like that knowledge kind of based offer. And this is still going to exist, but this is going to become big box. So think about when you go into a big shopping mall or like a shopping strip, you need a big box to like keep all the little stores alive, you know? And big box has a lot of, you know, sometimes pressure. They don't get to be like as creative sometimes, but they make everything else work. So the way that I was seeing this is that some of you might already show some big box offers that like have been doing well, like really spotting like that one thing in your business that like does very, very well. And making a sacrifice to make that a big box offer. Does that make sense? So like being very almost marketing about it. This is a good time for like if you're going to open like an academy or like we have an academy for this, and being very almost like strict about how it's messaged and how it's positioned. And this then gives you space to be creative in other places, like to take creative risk in other places that don't make as much money. So think about the film industry. Like, you know, if you're a studio, you might want to have a really big superhero franchise because that's our big box that then allows us to do some of the more indie films that like don't make as much money. So it does look like you'll have to look out for those things in your business, and you'll have to decide like who is the big box offer, like in the things that I do, and how can we like push this horse forward, you know, like be like, okay, like this is our main horse, like this is our competitive horse that is going to make everything go. And to me, this doesn't feel like just like a course or an academy. It also feels like it could be a piece of content. Like it could be like this one piece of content that you've been doing, but there is something that almost like moves everything else ahead. And it's like the main producer. It's like 80% of money or 80% of like attention comes from this one thing. And we have to notice that and also even like almost make some sacrifices with this and not try to make it like super indie creative, but instead being like, okay, this is like our Trojan horse that like moves ahead. And then everything else can be a little bit more creative, maybe has less profit margin. So there's really like looking for what that is. My feeling, if we're using the Jenna Kutcher example, is that hers is that Pinterest course that she sells. Like she has realized that like this is her big box offer and that it makes sense to keep positioning it that way. And then she can start doing other things beyond the Pinterest, but like this is the main thing. All right, now moving into podcasts, what's going to work there? There's two types of podcasts that are going to work. The first one is going to be heavy production Today Show type shows. So I'm thinking The Toast. I'm thinking like you're really big, you know, Diary of a CEO, all that. Those are really looking like the old Today shows, like those interview shows, the Oprah shows that we used to watch. It's the same format, heavy production, a lot of overhead in these production, you know, videos, whatever. Money from the ads, right? Like, so just like old, this is production. Like this feels to me like this is Hollywood. This is LA. This is production. And if you are having a show like that, and you're like, oh man, like it's just not growing. We're not making money. It needs Hollywood investment. Like it needs investment. Like when you're going to go pitch a film, like you're pitching an idea and you need money from somebody, whether it's like you're doing it on your own or, but there is an investment before. And I think that's what some of us are getting wrong, that like we're wondering like this variety show should grow on its own organically. And I just don't see that really happening so much anymore. It needs investment into the whole thing, like the production, the set, the cameras. It's a business in itself. And it's very much like that, you know, YouTube business, right? That like you have YouTube videos that are doing well and they're getting a ton of views and you're making money from the content doing very well. So that is like that kind of podcast. And you have to decide if you are in that category. And if you are, you have to go by the model. Like I see some people like trying to do that model a little bootstrappy or basically like thinking that it's the days where I can play the lotto and like maybe go viral and maybe be discovered, but it's not. It's so much more production than like we think, because we're just like seeing these two girls in their sweatpants like talking, but no, like this is a show. So to really treat it like that and to think about like if that is the kind of show that you want. The second show is the show that sells your own products. I would say right now that is what this show is, right? Like this show is, it offers a lot of value. It introduces you to me, to the things that I do. And I'm not looking for ad money. That is not of interest of me right now. That's just the kind of show. So it's kind of like deciding which show I'm in. This kind of show requires less production. I don't need guests. I can do it on my own. And that aligns with my values. You know, I'm still in a place that I want to be where my kids are. And, you know, I live in the mountains. I don't live in LA. Like this is a good type of show for me. And what I was getting here was just like, we need to know the difference. Like, and you have to pick your lane and stay in one lane or the other and make sure that you are kind of like following the rules of that model. So then I asked, okay, well, like what's the growth in each of these types of podcasts? The first one that's more like that Today Show kind of like, you know, interview show style, growth is investment. It comes from money. Like that's where the growth comes from. The growth here in this one is growth is in value and growth is in word of mouth. Like this is like really helping people. This is really supporting people. I'm just like getting a lot from it. It's not as entertaining, let's say, as the other ones. Message number three. Okay, so then what is going to work going forward? What is this evolution of this online business, like what's happening here? What's going to work? So I asked that question, and what is going to work moving forward in online business, specifically for women, is clarity. Like having just being clear, being very clear about who you are, what you offer, like what you want to accomplish. Like it is this extreme focus, basically. And listen, those of you who are listening, who are just starting, who are just entering, like, this message may not be for you as much, because I don't want you to kill what is brewing inside of you, right? Like, you have to do the pre-business stuff, which is discovery, figuring out, like, you know, what it is that you have to offer. Like, what do you love? You know, what's the creativity that you want to move forward? But ultimately, like, when you discover what that is, it looks like you move into the business stage, and it's about clarity, like really, really being clear about who you are, what you want, and where you're going. And what's interesting is when I was getting this message, I felt that, for better or for worse, I hope this is not like super discouraging, we're going to talk about creativity in a second, but we are all QVC now. What does that mean? We are all companies that have a media arm that sell the products that we have. So it's like you have two things going on. And I think, like, if we go back into like old school business, you always had marketing and PR, like these things that sell your products, right? Like the business is based on a product, like something you're excited about that you're selling that like actually brings in money, right? Whatever that is. And then there's this whole process of selling it. And those are usually marketing, PR efforts. But nowadays, and this I think is why we're so confused, especially in online business, because we see content and you can monetize content or you can use content to sell your things. And some people are doing both. Some people are doing just one. And that gets like really confusing. But what I was seeing here was like every business has this whole media arm that basically sells this very clear offer that they want to sell. So in a sense, we're like kind of QVC, right? Like, what was QVC, right? Like, it was, or the Home Shopping Network. My mom used to buy so much from that stuff, you guys. Like, I don't know how my dad, I guess these days we probably spend even more on Amazon. So I guess it wasn't too bad what she was doing. But like every few days, she would like, there would be some QVC box. And my dad was like, whatever, like, let this lady order her QVC stuff. But anyways, what was QVC, right? It's a show and it's entertaining and it's fun and you get to see it in person. And at the end of the day, so it takes up, it entertains you, it takes up time. You don't ever have to buy anything from them, right? Like, that's like the content that we make, but we're going to remind you of what we're selling over and over and over again. We're going to keep reminding you. And that is what we are right now. And I say that in a very sobering way, because especially my creative friends, I am a creative at my core, and we're going to talk about my creatives next. But I think we have to mature into this space, because the space is maturing, right? Before, we didn't have to be as mature because it was boom, and boom is younger. Boom is, you know, the night, it's reckless. It's like, I don't even have a plan. I'm going to hit the lottery. I'm going to hit a jackpot. So you don't really have to go through the adulting rules, basically. But now in the industry, there is an adulting vibe to it. And we just have to be sure that, like, we want to be part of that adulting. So this message is like a sobering message. You know, it is, do you like that? Like, do you like that idea? And also, can you accept that idea? And I think once we get over that hump of accepting it, then there's like a ton of fun on the other side. But to understand that, like, you know, if it's your creativity, it doesn't matter, you're still selling it, right? Like, you're still making media to sell something, and you're probably going to be holding and handling both. Message number four. Okay. This is for those of you who are a little sad about my last few messages, a little discouraged, and you're like, Nikki, I just want to be creative. Like, that's, you know, that's what I'm here for. And I hear you. I started this business wanting to be creative, and there is so much space for me to be creative, but there's also these like business structures at the end of the day that allow this business to run, but also allow its creativity. So I hear you, and I want to speak to the creative within you, and I want to share what's actually going to work for my more creative types. So within this message, I was getting, okay, so if your creativity like is the thing, is the product, then it's about investing in that creativity, right? So like really recognizing and understanding what creativity is. Creativity is a point of view. It's a style, right? Like when we watch a filmmaker or when we read books of people, of creatives that we love, there is a style. Like, we know it's their style. Maybe we're buying clothes from an artist we love. Like, there is a style. There is a point of view. So that is truly the offer. And as much as like we like to think that some people just like naturally have that point of view or that style, there is work, even if it's more feminine work, but there is work towards that craft or that creativity. So right here, the first pointer was to invest into the talent, to invest into the creativity, to make it better, to like discover like what is your style, to make sure to be consistent and make sure that like everything has your style and that like this is your style and this is not your style, right? Like I worked for a lot of publications before I did this work, and we had style guides, words you could use in the magazines, words that you could not use when you were writing for the magazine, right? And that is what kept the style there and the point of view and the creativity. So there's a need to always be working on that. That does not mean that we don't move forward because the talent is not there yet, but we have to kind of handle helping that talent become more talent. What's going to work for creatives is creating a world. So if you are like a Substacker, if you want to write books, if you want to make shows or whatever that may be, I see like having to think about the world first. So maybe getting a wall in your home, in your apartment, and starting this process of like drawing up the world. And this can be like really fun. Maybe it's just like beautiful things that you see, or maybe you're sketching the characters that you're making, but you gotta invite people into a world that is like, that's what's going to work for creatives right now. I also saw for creatives printing and in real life. So I wouldn't necessarily like wait for a book deal or something, but like, let's say you're a Substack artist and you are author, excuse me. And you have written 10 essays already. Like I would start printing those essays, maybe ask people if you want them to be mailed to you. Like there looks like there is a combination of both online and print that is coming forward, and that's really important. And again, that's what's so sobering about this episode is that like, yeah, a few years ago or when blogging started, you could have just been online. Like that was more than enough for people. And that's because it was a boom. And like, that's why there's luck in booms. And that's why people are lucky. And there's less work when you're at the beginning of a boom. But now as it matures, there is kind of that regular running a business work, which is like just like running a coffee shop. So as much as I'd love to get away with just having a Substack that, you know, attracts 10,000 people, my sense is that there's going to be like a mix of the two that's like a little bit more work, right? Like the profit margins are less when you're doing something in print or whatever, or having to like leave your house and do things in person. But that is where we're at in the industry. And that's what this episode's about. And lastly, for creatives, I would highly suggest having a conversation with yourself and being like, okay, do I want to dedicate myself to like fully being a creative? And do I feel like I want to invest and stay in that zone? And I don't want to have anything to do with the business part, or like, I don't want to split my time. Then I would really think about bringing in a collaborator, bringing in a partner. Somebody like me who's a little bit of both, I've always been a little bit of both. I think a lot of it comes from like just not trusting, honestly. And for me, the way I've run my business was like doing a little bit of both. And I think that was very informed by my father, who is a talent, right? He's a doctor. And at some point he grew his business and he brought in like a business partner and lost everything because of that business partner, because he didn't have his eye on the business. And I think I just really took that in, was like, okay, note to self, like, you can't just like be the talent. I don't think that's true anymore, but that's the way that I understood it. And I think that that has informed the way I've grown my business. And I'm proud of what I've grown till now. But I think that either you can start off thinking like, no, I am not like Nikki. I do trust other people. And or you might be, you know what? I've gotten myself this far and I would like to go more into my creative self. So I want to call in a partner. I think I may be at that place very soon if I'm ready for it. I think I'm ready to call in more of these like business-minded people so that I can double down into my creative self. I don't know what that will look like, but it's like it makes more sense, right? At some point, for like if I am the talent, to go deeper into the talent and not split time. But that of course means that you're giving up something huge, right? Like, you're giving up 50% of your business or like whatever it is that you're giving up, but it's worth it. I don't think it's 50%. I think you could do 20, anywhere between 20 and like 8% is kind of what I'm feeling. And bring in somebody who like really wants to take that on and somebody that you really trust, right? So it's like kind of the husband to you, the wife, and bringing that forward if that's what you really need. Now you'll have to position yourself as a talent who is worth investing in. And sometimes that takes time, right? Like I have people that work for me because I have somehow, you know, positioned myself as like, I'm an exciting talent. Like you should be excited to work with me and to work here. And maybe that's just like maybe the way I think about myself, or maybe I've sold myself that way. But overall, like that's how you get people to work with you and be excited about you. Because especially with partnership, you don't have a ton of money. You're not offering money up front. You're just telling them like, I am so excited. Like I'm an amazing talent. Like this is worth it. Like this is my idea. So it does feel like it's a bit of pitching. And this is a great path for some of you, but you'd have to be okay of just like doubling down into the talent and letting go that business part. Message number five, I wanted to know, okay, moving forward, what products are really gonna work? Like what offers are really gonna work? And I honestly was getting, you know what? It totally depends on who your people are. It depends on the behavior of your people. Like anything, like this doesn't, I didn't really feel like there was like one thing that was really gonna work and something that wasn't. Like that is not, this was very audience-driven, customer-driven, like what fits their lifestyle is what I was getting. But I would say that I was understanding that it's like one offer, but you can consume it in different ways. So I thought that was interesting. So it's like, let's say my one offer is I offer tips on traveling or something. Like maybe I'm a travel business. Like I inspire people to travel. It felt to me like, okay, then you can consume that in three different ways. You can consume that in experiences, like real life experiences. You can consume that in like a DIY situation. So maybe I make itineraries, maybe I sell like little itineraries, or maybe I make blog posts that tell you what to buy. And then there's like a third format, or maybe the third format is like going just with me. It's a private and that's like my very exclusive. And then my fourth is, you know, education on your own time. You can do it from home and you learn about how to travel on your own, and then you take your own travel tip, you know, eventually. So it felt like it's like I'm selling one thing, like I'm promoting one thing, I'm selling one thing, but there's different ways in which you can consume it. And that's where the variety starts to come from. And it's also like where it's, you know, it's hard to have that variety sometimes because there's different profit margins. But it does seem like there's going to be seasons in the business, and there's going to be sometimes that like the one offer really, one format, excuse me, like really does well because of the season. So it's nice for you to take the same thing, but break it down into these different formats. Okay. And message number six, a little bonus message for us. I asked about profits. I'm like, okay, tell me where the profits are, because I think that was the coolest thing about online business, right? Like online business had crazy profits. You could make a course, sell it 10 times and make $100,000. Like that was the promise. And that was the so exciting thing that like women discovered, and they were raising their kids. And it was just like the coolest thing, right? I remember when Benny was introducing to me, like, we're going to flip these homes, or we have flipped homes before, we're going to do more of these homes. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, let me look at the profit margins. Let's run the budget. I'm like, dude, this is a lot of work for $60,000. Like I can sell a course, you know? And he was like, yeah, well, not all businesses have those profit margins. And it was just because I was in the middle of the boom. So like, it was hard to sell me on this idea. But obviously, like, you know, now it's Benny's passion at the end of the day, and it's what he loves and it's what he's talented of. So all that work is worth it. He's such a Capricorn energy too. Like he wants to do hard work. And you know, it's still great. Like it is still good profit margins, obviously, to like get a chunk of money like that. But it was really funny when I was coming from this online world of being like a snob about it. And that was just part of being part of the boom. So now I'm like, okay, what are the new profits? What, you know, online business is still an amazing business to have because of the profits, right? Like because of the profit margin. So what's really going to work? The first thing I got here was this acceptance that some of us will be mom and pop shops. Some of us are going to be the local coffee shops, and then there's still going to be the Starbucks of the world, right? And it's okay to pick a lane. You know, it's okay to be a mom and pop. Like to me, when I was seeing a mom and pops, I was like, this gives me a really nice salary. I'm making about $180,000 a year, $150,000 a year. And I work less than my friend who makes that at her corporate job, right? Like that is still a really good business. And sometimes like recognizing that like that's where I am at and maybe I don't want to go beyond that. So there seems like there's going to be a ton of mom and pop online businesses. Like you don't have to get caught up in the shiny stuff of the rush of the like, you know, are you okay with that? And like maybe some of you are like, yeah, like that sounds amazing. You know, like I feel that way like about my business. I'm like, this is giving me a really great salary that my friends that are getting the same salary have given up all these years working corporate, getting home at 7, you know, having bad mental health, bad foods, like all these things. And I'm like, this is good for me. Like I may not be the Jenna Kutchers of the world, but this is a nice nice salary for me. I'm in between. I'm not like, that's not the salary. I'm kind of like in purgatory between like the bigger ones, but nonetheless, when I was at that like original space, I thought it was like a nice thing, but of course I just am called to more. So I do a little bit more. And then we're still going to have the businesses that blow the mom and pops like out of the water. I don't say blow them out of the water as in like they're not mom and pops don't exist, but it's just like any industry, right? Like there's a local grocery store that you can go to, and then there's Whole Foods. There is your local, you know, coffee shop or smoothie shop, and then there's, what are those big smoothie places or like the Starbucks of the world, right? That is still gonna exist. And if you have the ambition and the desire to be those bigger kind of big box brands, that's what they look like for me. They're like big box brands. They are the Mel Robbins of the world. You know, they are pillars of the industry. And there's a certain game that those big box brands are playing. And you have to kind of go a little bit by those rules and maybe have an understanding of what game you're playing. That's what this message was about to me. It was like, there's these two roads, you know, like there's the mom and pop, and then there's like this big box. Being in the middle is probably like the hardest road, which is like what I am. But if you're so like, that's why maybe making a decision, like which path you're going to take, that will be helpful too. And it's also hard to like not even be a mom and pops yet, but want to be a big box. Like that is very discouraging as well. So like maybe you're not mom and pops yet. So just like work towards mom and pops first, like get there first. And like anything, right? Like Whole Foods was just a little grocery store at first, and then they bought up a few more. And then they decided like, oh, we're going to brand, we're going to do all these things. And that's how they became Whole Foods. It's a great one. I love the podcast guy's Founders, and he did a great episode on Whole Foods, and it's just a great lesson of what I'm talking about right now. So check that one out. Are you like kind of really look at like what you're working towards? And I feel like it's almost supportive to work towards that mom and pops first and then see if that like really, really works. And then think about quote unquote franchising, right? Like going bigger into that next level, which are these like big box brands. And I'm going to tell you how these big box brands work, what I was getting, in case that's your ambition. The big box brand is heavily, heavily dependent on the talent. The talent has to be strong. So the talent has to know herself. The talent has to know what she stands for. She has to have a dedication and a consistency to like her character is how it makes me feel. So this is not aesthetic. I know some of you are going to be like, I can never be that because like I'm not an aesthetic person. Like I just can't keep up a look. This is not about aesthetic. This is about consistency in brand. So it's like if I always look disheveled and that is my brand, right? Like you think about Call Her Daddy. I mean, most of her episodes, she is in sweatpants. I know she's naturally beautiful and she has a ton of money on production, so it still looks beautiful at the end of the day. But like that is, there's dedication to that sweatpants kind of Uggs look, you know, like she's dedicated to that look. And that's what this is about. Like these bigger box brands are like, it's dedication to a character. It's dedication to the talent knowing that like nothing else is more important than like me remaining the talent, which can turn a little narcissistic a little bit because, you know, it's like you really have to think about yourself, go within yourself, you know, lead that way, like be like everything has to revolve around me, because that is like that's where the gold is at, like where that's where the value is at. And that's also why these people end up working with partners and having people that do more of the business side. But that seems very like that's where like a mom and pops turns into this, which we can take away talent and think about we can go back to Whole Foods, right? Like if you study Whole Foods, they were just these like little local stores. I think it started in Austin, no branding. But now Whole Foods has a very strong brand, a very strong point of view. That's what makes them work. Everything looks the same. The aisles look the same, right? Like that's what we see with these like online businesses as well. So that's something to think about and to see if like that excites you, if that sounds fun for you. That is going to require money investment into branding, hair, styling, clothing, production, like all that kind of stuff, because like that consistency looks effortless, but it's very thought out. Bonus, I didn't really sit to see like what works, what makes a mom and pops work. But I know some of you are like, well, tell me what makes a mom and pops work. What makes a mom and pops work is actually like a humility. It is a presence of like being here in this moment and knowing that, yeah, maybe 5 years I want to get to that next level, but right now I just need to run this store very well. Like, and think about like let's think about a little coffee shop that's ultimately going to be a huge deal in a big brand, or a yoga studio that's going to be a huge deal one day in a big brand. But all I have right now is my first studio, or maybe I don't even have a studio yet. Maybe I'm just going to people's houses and being a private instructor. I have to be very present of like where I am and do that job very well. So if I'm a personal instructor at private homes right now, I am going to be the best private instructor at, you know, at homes right now. And then when I feel like it's time to grow and it's obvious that I'm growing outside of that and I move into my first studio, so then like I'm going to be amazing at my first studio. It's basically the person that does well there is a person that's not trying to leap, not trying to make these like giant steps that, you know, she's not trying to go from like crawling to running, right? Like she's like, I'm crawling now and now I'm walking. And now I'm walking fast and now I'm running and now I'm an athlete. I'm sprinting and I'm doing flips. Like I take, right, like the big box or those big brands that we're talking about, like they're the gymnasts of the world. But like the mom and pops are just people that know that they want to do every level and do it well and that they're present in those levels and trusting that they will feel when it's time to expand beyond crawling to walking, walking to walking fast, right? So it's about like really being here in this moment right now. Because if not, you're like waking up every day frustrated thinking you're not doing a good job, but you have to look at like what's in front of you and like doing a good job with that. This also, the mom and pop's success feels like very connected to customers, to customer service. It feels very connected to community. It feels connected to service, like very much being about the other person, where like when we move into that other stage, which is probably what's hard, like it's so funny as I'm talking, I'm like this is probably what's been hard for me, right? Like I was always customer service, like very service, dedicated to the customer, dedicated to the client. Like that's why I got into the work. So then when you try to push me into talent, it's a you first kind of vibe. And that is very hard for the mom and pop to like go into like you first, right? Like which is I think a struggle. For that leap. But for now, like being present there and being customer serviced first, and then knowing that you'll know when it's time to expand beyond that. Like it'll come from a place of like, if I've already sold 100 of these, like it's time for me to go to the next place. And then there's going to be like an increase in the talent. So it's like, you don't even need a ton of talent for mom and pops at first. You need a ton of love and a lot of service and a lot of community and like being connected to the customer. And then later we move on to the next thing. So yeah. All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode. I love this conversation. I know it was very layered and maybe a little complicated, a little different than what we usually do, but hopefully it gave you a lot of things to think about. And I feel like what I would love for you guys to think about is like, what is my lane? Where am I right now? Because my sense is that your present is kind of mixed up with your future. And just because you're not like living your future or thinking about your future right now doesn't mean that you're not going to grow into that future. And I also feel like, do you have one foot in one place and one foot in another? Like my feeling is at the end of this, can we find some clarity? Can we make some choices and trust those choices that they will naturally grow into the next thing, but to be like very grounded into what is here and what is present so that you can move into the next thing. And let go of maybe the past, because sometimes if we've been in this business for a long time and it worked another way before and now it's not working like that and we're like, oh my God, we're a total failure. I feel like this episode is also about like releasing the past and realizing like that what the present is, like where we are right now and also where this is going towards, you know, where we are right now and where this is going in the future. So I hope this was supportive. On Clarity app, we have notes and journal prompts for these episodes. So like if you're like, wow, that was a lot, Nikki, we do have bullet points and notes that kind of help you remember the episode and also these questions that will help you reflect on the episode. So if you would like that, please join us in Clarity app. I think this is definitely one that you need to sit with and write out some stuff and kind of go to the next level and not just sit here and listen, but actually do something with it. All right. I love you much. I will see you in the next episode. That's it for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. I love you guys so much. If you're called to it, please leave me a review, subscribe, and share it with a friend. That is the best way to show your gratitude for this show. And if you want to go deeper with me, check out my app, Clarity. Until next time, much love always.